Things change there. So I think right now, sitting back and seeing a veteran that's done it at a high level for a long time, you can develop that way as well. McKinsey, you go through that process and learn.
There's Colts head coach Shane Steichen. Really, the Colts have kind of been one of the main characters here in this mid-window. Josh, I mean, just in terms of what's going on at their quarterback position, they go to Joe Flacco. It's not like it's the Cleveland Joe Flacco either, where all of a sudden they're lighting up the scoreboard and they're making a run here. It's been kind of ugly, and it feels like a weird situation. The Bills are on the road this weekend on Sunday in Indianapolis against the Colts, 1 p.m. kickoff, and it's feeling like one of those games. I mean, I know I'm looking forward to Chiefs week as well, but as I was mentioning here, as we bring in our next guest, Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan. Kevin, I wanted to talk to you anyways, even if the teams weren't playing, because I am just lost on what's going on.
Yeah, join the club. There's 2 million people in the population of Indianapolis. Very confusing, just a total 180 from where they were. Organizationally, I would say the three most important voices in that organization, owner, GM, and head coach, where they were, back when Richardson was drafted in April 2023 of, hey, we need to practice patience. And I would say to an element, you could speak to it better. Maybe you guys kind of lived that early on with Josh Allen as well. And that was kind of the thought of there will be growing pains. The college resume is not good. Bear with us, all of those things. And then 10 starts into it. A very abrupt ending, and now it's, hey, it's win now, and it's like, wait a minute, what happened when $20 million cap space was sat on in the offseason, and they didn't make a single move for any sort of starting competition in the offseason either. So I think it's just a lot of confusion for the franchise in regards to the most important position in sports.
And on that patience part, our morning show host, Joe DiBiase, he went through it this morning, just kind of breaking down all their stats, and they're about where you expected second-year Josh Allen and Anthony Richardson to be at. And that leads me to kind of wonder, and again, this is all outside looking in, but we all heard about he took himself out of a game because he was tired and such. Like, it makes you almost wonder, like, is this a maturity thing? Like, is this why they're yanking him? But then, to hear Steichen, I think, essentially say that, like, no, Flacco's the starter, like, the rest of the year. It's just, it has left me kind of, like, dumbstruck. It's like, you knew he was a raw quarterback that didn't play a lot at Florida. And now, again, 10, like as you put, 10 starts in, it seems like it might be over, if I'm not reading that wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there was a thought, this time last week, I thought, okay, is this a one-week benching? The tap out, obviously, is a very jarring move for a quarterback to make. Is this bad? And they made it abundantly clear it was not bad. Obviously, Flacco was really bad Sunday night and will indeed be the starter coming up on Sunday against Buffalo. So, Steichen is not super transparent with his words in regards to the why. I mean, he throws out the word professional a couple of different times, though. Is there something off the field, non-tap related that they feel like, they need to get more out of? I mean, obviously the standard of a quarterback in the NFL, I mean, it's huge. It's it's not your high school student body president. It's bigger than that. So, is that not there? That's probably a fair question to be asked. And obviously his play on the field was not at a, good level. But certainly there was an element of you had to expect it. And the offense turns very one-dimensional. And on Sunday night, without the run game, the one dimension was pretty bad. So, again, it's just head-scratching. It's confusing. It's a very mixed message from where they were at, back in April of 2023. And it's not like Flacco, again, short-term, long-term. It's not like you're in a position necessarily to get on a run with Flacco. And then long-term, I mean, he turns 40 in January and, what are you doing? Are you going to have one of the more awkward off seasons in Colts history of, Anthony Richardson, we just benched him for fun. Like, trust us, year three, this is going to be the year, 10 starts, et cetera, et cetera. 2025, that's where he's going to really take off. It's just a very awkward time for the Colts, their fan base, and their franchise.
So I guess going off of that, what do you think the next little bit here holds for Anthony Richardson and the Colts? Is he going to be someone that tries to get traded in the offseason? Is he going to be maybe back at the end of the year? I have no idea what they're going to do here. I think they should play him more, but at the same time, if you're not going to play him, you should probably try to move him, right?
Yeah, they certainly, had some calls here before the trade deadline, and they elected not to do anything on that end. I think, now again, there's no past precedent that would indicate they are right on this. They are going to turn back to him. They're going to give him the keys at some point again. Now, when is that? If you look at their schedule upcoming, it's a very difficult stretch. you know, if it goes poorly for Flacco, do they turn to him at, you know, whatever, the start of December, if they're, you know, seemingly out of the playoff picture, the odds don't look good. Or is it, like I said, going to be a really weird and awkward offseason of like, yeah, we're going to start him again next year. And, you know, I mean, 10 starts is, I mean, it's nothing. And you know, part of me thinks it's low-hanging fruit to just make the Josh Allen comp. But, you know, for what it's worth, I think entering the draft, a lot of people, you know, made a similar comparison, you know, playing style, size, college resume between the two quarterbacks, Richardson and Allen. And, again, you guys know full well, bailing on Josh Allen 10 starts into the career would not have been the right move at all. So, you know, do you leave that glimmer of hope? You're probably going to be around 500 at the end of the year. You're drafting in the middle of round one. That's an awkward place. Do you, again, do what, you know, Buffalo did and make a trade-up if you identify a quarterback? Or how do you handle all of it? So, again, I think they will turn to him again, but, you know, there's no past precedent for a first-round quarterback to have been benched by that franchise and then all of a sudden to resurrect whatever career they feel like is there.
Kevin Bowen on the Wester Hotline over on 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis. Kevin, I guess one of the other weird parts about this has been, too, it's not like the Colts are like a 1-7 or, you know, a 1-8 team, 2-7 team. Like they're 4-5. And yeah, they've ultimately lost, I think, the last two straight, but it seemed like a team that was just kind of, you know, they're figuring out. They're a young team. I think we talked in the offseason about like what the expectations were going to be, and it seemed like they were somewhat relatively in terms of a team meeting them. Jonathan Taylor comes back. He's playing pretty well. I do want to touch on that as well. It's just, you know, where, I guess, are the fans sitting with this? Is there sort of this anti-Richardson, pro-Richardson camp, or is kind of everyone in one spot or another? Kevin, are you there?
Sorry about that. I think this point last week, people were on the Flacco, hey, win now, you know, camp of, hey, look what he did in Cleveland last year. And, again, I think there was a bit of a misnomer of, you know, Cleveland had the number one ranked defense in the NFL when he took over. They were 7-4. And, you know, if you look at Flacco's recent run, obviously great in Cleveland last year, very impressive what he did, come off the couch. And he's also 8-17 in his last 25 starts. So you probably can't lose sight of that either. So I think last week, the split would have been probably like 70-30, 65-35. People didn't want the benching, but, you know, there was still a percentage that was okay with seeing Flacco. And now I think you actually see a loss play out in prime time. Flacco is a big reason for that loss. And I think now the frustration has really bubbled to, if you did that same poll, it'd probably be something like 90-10. And I think you can look at it one of two ways. You know, if you're all in on Richardson and you think he deserves more starts, I mean, what unbelievable opportunities, whether that would have been Sunday night against the Brian Flores defense or this week, you know, in such a marquee matchup, you know, against a guy like Josh Allen, future Hall of Famer next week in Aaron Rodgers. They play the Lions in a couple weeks. Again, great unscripted game rep opportunities he never sniffed at Florida or hasn't really had much of in the NFL. And then on the flip side of it, if you are skeptical about Richardson, there probably is a part of it, which sounds weird, of like, continue to play him. And if it continues to go poorly and the arrow continues to point down, now you have your answer at the end of the 2024 season, or you have a clearer answer on it, and you can operate in the offseason in a different manner than maybe you will now. Like I said, I think they will act like Richardson is their guy in 2025. So that just delays this answer further. And if you're wrong on it, now you've wasted an entire offseason. So I would say fans, again, there's a little bit of, hey, Flacco, maybe win now. But I mean, for those unfamiliar with the Colts, they've hovered around 7 to really 11 wins with Gardner Minshew, Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan's season was really bad. You know, Jacoby Brissett, they won 11 with Phillip Rivers, lost to the Bills in the playoffs. You know, again, Carson Wentz was a 9-win season. So they've done this song and dance with different lead actors. I think they almost view it as Flacco's kind of the same guy, just a different actor.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, for what it's worth, at least it won't be a boring offseason. You know, whatever happens, it's going to be interesting. I did mention Jonathan Taylor here, and for us in Buffalo now, it's become, at least this season, anytime there's a good running back, our blood starts to boil and we start sweating bullets. It's just the Bills, they've not really handled running backs well this year, or at least good rushing teams. Derrick Henry, notably on primetime, just ran all over the Bills. Devon Achane last week, yes, it ends in a win, but it didn't leave you with a lot of confidence. And Jonathan Taylor, since coming back from his injuries to start the year. Kevin, he's looked great. I mean, just under 5 yards per carry. It looks like, for the most part, outside of last week, he's been awesome in every game. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, when Richardson has been next to him, he's been uber, uber good. And I'd say when Flacco's been next to him, it hasn't been at the Jonathan Taylor level that we're used to. They struggled to run it again, 3.7 per carry the other night with Flacco. Now, Taylor hasn't been with Flacco, you know, a ton this season, but I think that is a question you have of just how dynamic is this run game with Flacco and the lack of attention that's needed in the run game versus with Richardson. Now, certainly you guys saw it firsthand a couple years ago what Taylor can do when he's humming, and that's one of the finest games of his NFL career. And I do think he still has that in him, but the Colts have yet to kind of find that fully, again, especially with Flacco. And they could be starting – they will start two rookies on their offensive line. They could be starting three, depending on a concussion protocol situation with their left tackle. So that is something to keep an eye on as well for Sunday. And just the whole revival of the run game has to happen. The passing offense just isn't efficient and crisp enough to not have Jonathan Taylor at that Pro Bowl level. And there's been moments of that this season, but, you know, lately it just hasn't been there necessarily for him. And again, he's coming off an ankle injury from a few weeks ago and missed some time. So he's too dynamic of a player not to have him above, you know, more than 4 yards per carry. So certainly it'll be a huge storyline given, you know, Buffalo and some of the struggles that they've had there.
So sticking with the offense, I wanted to talk about the wide receiver room because it's kind of a weird room. Like, obviously you have Michael Pittman Jr. there, and but he hasn't had really that good of a season. Is that mostly on the quarterbacks, or is it like just the passing game in general?
So Pittman suffered a back injury about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know, unless you're a fantasy football owner of Michael Pittman, you probably didn't pay too much of attention to it. But there was a debate that they put him on injured reserve, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, he's going to play through this back injury, he's going to play through it. Well, I want to say in the last, I forget the exact numbers, I want to say it's 2 catches on 10 targets maybe in the last 2 weeks, just a really, really bad percentage. He's not creating much separation at all. He just doesn't look like anywhere near the same player. They decreased his playing time from 95% of the snaps the week prior to around 75% last week. So I think they have to have a real conversation about Pittman and just his play time. Is he going to continue to play through it? Those things. Now, they have some other guys. Alec Pierce is a true home run hitter. He has done that this season. Josh Downs is a really, really good slot wideout and can do a little bit more than just that. And their rookie, A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, has been open. It's just not been a lot of either, hey, he has dropped balls or, you know, receivers haven't, or quarterbacks haven't gotten it to him. He made a great catch on the sideline last week. So they have some other options there. They're a terrible tight end group. They won't do anything there of note. But those are probably some of the questions right now, pass catching wise. Pittman's back, and then just kind of the trickle down effect off of that with guys and their respective playing time.
Kevin, you have no idea how badly I needed to hear you say that Adonai Mitchell is in fact getting open. They're just not getting the ball. I was a big A.D. Mitchell fan for this draft class for the Bills, and to see him go to the Colts, I was crushed. And then I saw I've only seen the week one numbers of like just how much he was getting open, and I, when I tell you it breaks my heart, it broke my heart. oh man.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a guy that certainly I think was a pretty volatile draft prospect. You know, some people had him going as high as round one, and you know, he fell to, I believe, the 11th wideout taken. So you know, they would like a little bit more consistency. And it's, again, it's not just him. I mean, he has gotten open, but you know, whether it's, hey, you're not in the right place, or you know, some drops. Certainly, I think we're kind of waiting for the, hey, when's the 4-catch, 72-yard day? Again, he had an unbelievable toe tap catch the other day, but I think that'll be something to keep an eye on if they're going to decrease Pittman's playing time.
So, Kevin, shifting to the Colts defense here. Obviously, the Bills' offense has been kind of clicking lately. It's the passing game's getting a little more what we kind of expected it to be, especially with the addition of Amari Cooper. What's going to be the Bills' biggest issue on the Colts' defense here? I mean, is it going to be the line? Is it going to be the secondary? What are you looking at here?
Yeah, honestly, just go back to Sunday night. You know, that was a game where their defensive tackles helped wreck that game early on and, frankly, keep the Colts very much in it. They were up 7-0 at halftime because of a Grover Stewart defensive tackle strip sack of Sam Darnold. So that duo is extremely disruptive in the DeForest Buckner, and not just space-eating defensive tackles. We're talking playmaking defensive tackles. So it starts there. And really, outside of that, I'd say the unit is pretty blah. There's nothing that I think really stands out. The secondary is super inexperienced. I think if you look back on the Colts' wins over the last year, even year plus, I would argue they haven't beaten a quality quarterback in that entire span. The list of quarterbacks is about as ugly as you're going to find. And certainly Josh Allen does not qualify as one of those. So I think that is just kind of a general defensive question. The run defense has been an issue this season. I want to say they're, 29th, 30th, something like that, in rushing yards allowed. Early on in the year, even with that defensive tackle pairing healthy, they really struggled in that area. Buckner then missed a month plus. Now he's back. So I would start there. Buckner and Stewart, you know, how much can they disrupt? I think would be a worry if you're Buffalo.
And then, Kevin, last question here. The AFC South as a whole. Houston kind of had a lot of expectations coming to this year. They're 6-3. It's not like they're bad by any means, but they haven't felt like I think many were expecting the Houston Texans to feel like. Colts, of course, we've been talking about it. They've had their issues. And then Tennessee and Jacksonville. Oh, boy. Oh, franchises. They're definitely NFL franchises. What is your feeling on the AFC South at this point? I mean, for me, at least personally, it feels like it's the Thursday night special all over again with the AFC South. They're all kind of going back to what they were.
Yeah, Thursday night special is a good way to put it. I have labeled it before for those NCAA tournament diehards. I call it the True TV division. Mm-hmm. It's like the division you just put on True TV and you're like, wait, what? You know, what channel number is that? Now, I had higher expectations for the division this season. I thought that, you know, Houston, I still think record-wise, you know, is pretty much where you'd expect them to be at. I thought Jacksonville would get a little bit more back to where they were first couple months of last season. They obviously have not been that. And I even thought Tennessee would give you a little bit more than they have. And probably some people would say the Colts, depending on how you kind of view them into the season, a little bit more on the underwhelming side of it. So, again, overall, I thought they've been the laughing stock for years. I thought they they'd be a little bit better in that area, but it's kind of been same old, same old. And, you know, the Colts have lost both games to Houston, so unless the Texans totally fall apart, Houston's likely to run away with it. And, you know, I thought they'd be a little bit more competitive with Indy and maybe even Jacksonville than it has been so far.
Kevin, man, thank you so much for joining us today. Enjoy the game on Sunday and have a great rest of your week.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
That was Kevin Bowen, 1075 The Fan over in Indianapolis. And yeah, I mean, the Colts, again, I would have wanted to talk about the Anthony Richardson stuff regardless if the Bills were playing him, which was a nice, easy excuse.
It's such an interesting situation that they're in. I really...
And they did it all to themselves, though.
Right, yeah. But it's also like, it's one of those things where I feel like the easy answer, and this is me as not an NFL executive of a team that's kind of floundering right now, the easy answer is, hey guys, we messed up. He's not working out. Let's move on. Right? I mean, I think that might be the best case scenario for them.
It's tough to make that distinction, though, after 10 starts.
It is. It is. But at the same time, if they're already sick of him,
yeah,
why waste your time?
And also, how did you not get any of that in the draft process?
I guess for me, that's where,
and I don't want to like just, you know, beat the dead horse and be like, you guys totally messed this up. Everything you did was wrong. But it's like... It is one of those of, and we were talking with Joe DiBiase on his way out because, you know, he went through the stats and everything like that, and he's somebody that really thinks like it has to be a maturity thing.
Mm.
You know, when you look at Josh Allen and his development, the man is a lunatic. Like, we all joke that he's a golden retriever, but, like, he has really gone to the lab and changed his throwing motion. And every year you hear about he's throwing with Jordan Palmer and what have you and fixing his game into what he is now, where Richardson – 10 starts in, I think he's completed over 10 passes like twice in his career through the 10 starts, so he's not efficient. You know, he's an uber athlete, but barely could get on the field at Florida. They're not necessarily this runaway, but they're not the Tim Tebow Florida Gators. I mean, I'll tell you that right now.
This season, Richardson had 17 completions against the Packers in a loss.
And that's it. Everything else has been 10.
10 against the Bears in a win. 10 against Miami in a win, and 10 against Houston in a loss. That's this season.
And we're hearing Josh go 9-for-30, and like, I mean, like, alarms were going off. I mean, like, it's...
Right.
They're in different spots in their career, I get it, but I think it's also something, too, of every time he goes and runs, he gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even necessarily sit there and go, oh, he's like a Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts type weapon. He's not.
Yeah.
He's a guy that, like, you can't sit there and decide, we're going to do something like our own Philly special. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
we're gonna try to develop him like Josh Allen, where there's so much that has to go into that. And that's the thing is, like, if Indianapolis is not ready to sign up for that, then you definitely have to move on. But that's only something that Indy can decide, and it seems like they can't decide anything lately.
Yeah.
I think that
his big plays also will keep them. I think the big plays that he has the ability to make are gonna keep teams going, like, if we can just
figure
a lot like Allen, if you can tame the Mustang.
Yeah.
Now, which he got some.
Brian Daboll was able to do that, mm-hmm. and look at Allen now. I think he's becoming.
I think most of us assume Shane Steichen would really be able to do it,
right? But for a minute, I remember the conversation around Allen was, especially last year with Dorsey, mm-hmm. was he dependent on Brian Daboll? But he's definitely broken that mold. And if you can get Anthony Richardson, someone that can rein him in, whether it be a coordinator, an offseason workout guy, whatever, if you can do something to get him reined in, you can have the same sort of conversations of, well, if he can do this without that guy, then he's for sure something. But at the same time, like I said before, if the Colts don't want to go through that, they need to move on. But again, like you said, that should have been something they saw in the draft process.
Yeah, that you're like, oh, this guy's not going to.
Right.
He's not a workaholic or what have you. Know, whatever. Yeah. Because personality traits have become a major thing in the NFL. I mean, you're seeing the Bengals go through it too, where, you got Jermaine Burton and you got him late, but sometimes character red flags are legit to the point where they were building a foundation around him for Sunday and he's just a no-show for Saturday walkthroughs.
Yeah.
And now you've got leaders on the team having to answer for him and not really answering for him. They're just saying, like, dude, you got to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes character concerns are legit. I didn't hear anything, though, from Richardson. That was not a thing. It was just that he was raw.
It was the helmet tap. That was the thing that everyone's kind of questioning of, like, okay, if he's doing that on the field, is he doing anything behind closed doors? Which we don't know. But at the same time, you're not going to know that because it's the NFL. They keep all that stuff secret. But it's such a fascinating issue to be in if you're outside looking in. If you're a Colts fan, I'm sorry, but if you're looking at it from our perspective, it's just kind of an interesting situation because this is, and Jeremy and Joe were talking about this a little bit earlier with the value of draft picks and things like that, of how quickly do you move on nowadays, how easily can you say, okay, this is not working out, it's a year and a half in, sure, it's only 10 starts, but we don't like where this is going,
this is not working,
or you say, hey, it's a rough patch, it's only 10 starts in. We don't like where this is going, but we can fix this.
I think it's also, and real quick here to this, because we did have some Bills news as well.
Yes.
But I think it's also something, too, that we see just 10 starts. They've seen two full off seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're sitting there going, this is not
going
correctly.
They've seen two training camps. They see practice every single day.
Yep.
And it's all the off season talks, too. Of obviously, these players, they do stuff in the off season together.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that's a major factor, but if he's working out with, let's say, Michael Pittman, and Pittman's just going, what's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the case, but you never know.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you're never going to see, or if you do see it, it's because the players are really sick of him, and that's when you really lose the locker room and you got to move on.
It's tough.
Yeah, and it's tough being in that situation because you have to make the decision one way or another, and it's one of those, now, if you get rid of him, and he immediately has success, then you look like a fool. But if you move on and get a better quarterback, then, hey, it's a win-win situation.
And all this being said, the Bills are just about 4 or 4.5-point favorite, depending on who you ask, as they go into Indianapolis for Sunday at 1 o'clock. On to the Bills news, though. We will hear from our own Sal Capaccio here in just under 10 minutes. But the Bills have made it official. They're signing two defensive tackles.
Oh.
Ultimately, it was right. It is Jordan Phillips and it is Quentin Jefferson, both 2 1-year contracts, both coming back to Buffalo. Great to hear for them. The Phillips one, we were talking about it earlier. It didn't seem like they were definitely going to do it. Now they have. And then Quentin Jefferson was reported a little over an hour ago. So they bring in two new faces. I think that's a lot to do with just the injuries they've dealt with on the defensive line. But we'll get more on that as Sal Capaccio joins the show coming up next. And we will also attempt to carry live Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who's speaking at 11:45 this morning, looking for some more injury updates on that as well. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Expert Point Show. This is WGR.